Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's the corner where the troops at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense.
You know that we ain't coming back. We got to
the man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys, too, but Dante was my guy.
Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the new look, Chief Concerns, our live postgame, first ever live postgame episode with our guy, Lance. We got our guy, Lance the Spoken, coming on, and JD will be on in a little while. But, yeah, it's kind of tough to have our first live postgame show right after that we just witnessed. Lance, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good now that I get to talk with you guys, because this makes me feel a little bit better, because I feel like when you get to vent out your frustrations, that always makes things better. But make no mistake about it, this is going to be a really long week for Chiefs fans and the Chiefs as a whole. Man, I'm still pretty stunned, to say the least, as to what we just saw. And I'm sure we'll go deeper into this. I'm sure that you have plenty of good questions on this one, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there's a lot of things that jump out. I see we're getting some comments in already from people, but yeah, from Nina, despite what's being said on the Bluebird, the L wasn't just on Chris Jones. And that's true. You know, that was a play, a pivotal part of the game. And obviously, that's one that's going to linger, because that was pretty much the game at the end. But then you talk about the special teams aspect, which I got to say, man, you know, I'm only 28, so I haven't watched that many games of football in my life. But I can't remember a game where the special teams from top to bottom was just that bad. I mean, the 4th and 10 field goal, fake field goal pass play, that's something that like an 8-year-old does in Madden. Like, no one does that. I mean, I get the kicking woes we had, but what was that?
Yeah. This is by far, and I'm not being hyperbolic here, I'm only a few years older than you, Marcus, but I can say that this is, without question, the worst special teams performance in the Dave Tobe era. He's been here since Andy Reid got here in 2013. I've never seen his special teams look this lost. They've had penalties. They've had frustrating moments and times and games and that nature, but nothing to this effect where from the beginning of the game to the end of the game, it looked this bad. Now, we understand that Harrison Butker has been out, and Harrison Butker is historically one of the most accurate kickers of all time, so no matter who you have in his place while he's out, it's always going to be a downgrade. But my God, man, Amendola was about as bad as a kicker could be in the league, man. You have two chip shots, one from, I think, 26 yards, and then one from 34, and you just absolutely just bonker them, man. I don't understand what we saw there. Then you see Brian Cook get injured. Like you said, Sky Moore puts one on the ground. Marcus, this is just one of those kind of games, and I don't know why this happens in the Andy Reid era, where you have these incredible teams, these incredible rosters, and they have this one game every single season where you don't understand how they lost the game. And just to throw this stat out here, because it's something I put out there originally that our guy Nick Wright from FS1 put on the national side of things when I talked about how going into this game, the Chiefs were 45-1 in the Patrick Mahomes era when they held their opposition to 26 points or less. This is now their second loss in the Patrick Mahomes era. They're now 45-2. And ironically, Marcus, both of those losses are now to the Indianapolis Colts. So sports are weird, man. And this is one of those weird things where for some damn reason in the regular season, the Chiefs versus the Colts, it's just a really, really weird matchup. The Chiefs, weird things happen. And there was a lot of weird things that happened in all three phases of the game in this one.
Yeah, all those points. I agree with everything you had to say there. We're going to bring in our guy, Jason Dunn, former Chiefs tight end, Jason Dunn, to come on and join us. JD, we're airing out our grievances a little bit, and we're getting some fans to react here. Special teams is kind of the big thing. And someone, Nina actually, or Nene, said earlier that despite what's being said on Twitter, this loss wasn't just on Chris Jones. We talked about special teams, as Lance and I were just speaking about. What do you have to say about that loss?
Let me see in my notes. special teams suck. Let's see. Terrible on special teams. Defense played well. Offense was so-so. Special teams suck. That's where I'm at with everything, pretty much. I mean, look, the reality is this, and I'm sitting here and I was kind of talking about this, yelling at the screen a little bit. First off, Lance, what's up, my brother? How you doing, man?
JD, it's great to have you, buddy. I wish we were talking under better circumstances, dude, but this is what we got, sure. The risk we take.
Right, no doubt. You know, the reality is this. I think, you know, when it started out, I think Spags had a great game plan going into it defensively. I mean, it's the pressure that he was able to put on Matt Ryan and stopping Jonathan from getting going was a wonderful scheme to put together defensively. And they did a tremendous job of doing that offensively. I just think that we could just kind of stalled out, missed on a few opportunities. I think we came out the second half and looked pretty good as far as driving the football at first. And then all of a sudden, it just seemed like it dwindled away. And for the life of me, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was just some of the timing off. The O-line up front struggled a whole lot. Trey Smith looked really bad. You know, I don't like calling guys out, but, you know, sometimes he didn't do that well on the front line. And I think it kind of goes across the board. The guys just weren't on the same page all the time like they should have been, you know, as far as blocking or pass blocking up front. But special teams, you got to go into the special teams part of it. If everybody understands exactly how imperative it is, how important it is to have all three phases of the game working at the same time, just working on all cylinders, this game right here showed you what it meant. You know, and so this is what I was saying during the offseason when I was saying preseason-wise, is why do we have Pacheco and those guys running the ball out of the end zone? Yeah, I mean, you're just teaching them bad habits. I mean, really, you know, you really do. When people say, oh, you know, well, they just kind of – that's what – listen, this is what ends up happening. When you start giving a team like the Chiefs bad field position, and that's exactly what was going on. It's bad field position. You got Sky Moore muffing a punt. It was just a lot of blame to go around. But special teams should have not looked this bad. And the reality is, when we're sitting over talking about special teams, you got guys, that's the one phase of the game that every single player is involved in on special teams. Every single player. And I think somebody said something on Twitter. I'm just like, look, everybody's in a meeting on special teams. Everybody should know what's going on. There was just a lack of focus as far as what they wanted to do with this with Indianapolis. And it shouldn't have happened. It was, when I'm talking atrocious play by the special teams, it was beyond ridiculous. Utterly, utterly embarrassing.
JD, one of the other things that we kind of talked about a little bit before you came on was the Chris Jones penalty. And a lot of people are online because obviously that's the last drive of the game. So everyone's going to look to that one as, oh, we lost because of him, because of Chris Jones. Yeah. Which, as you said, special teams played a part throughout the entire game. And then also the play con, the lack of adjustments on offense, the line play. But talk to me about the Chris Jones play, because I've seen a lot of people say, well, there's guys talk crap to each other on the field all game long. And you played, you probably experienced that, or, you know, talking crap to other people. You don't see flags happen all game long. I mean, can you talk to me about that? Do you see kind of the BS in that call?
You know, it's kind of ticky-tack, but the reality is this. You know, Chris was talking to him when he first sacked him, was on top of him. And then he gets up, and he's still talking to him, and right in front of two refs. So you just can't do it. I'm sorry, you just really can't do it. And I don't know what he said, you know, as far as, you know, now this day and age with referees and how they're doing, and they're actually managing the game. You know they're going to be calling it ticky-tack fouls. You know, just to me, like, what you do to eliminate it, just don't say anything. Hey, Matt, we got you. Hey, let's go ahead. You know, just move on from it. So, yeah, man, it was kind of a ticky-tack. But, you know, we don't know what was said. And I guess, I mean, Chris, I'm sure he's going to come up and say, well, I didn't really say anything. And, you know, Matt being there, guys are jawing back and forth. It happens all the time. But there's certain things that's being said by the referees that they'll throw a flag on. That's the reality of it. And so – We don't know what that was. I'm sure it'll come out, but hey, man, you know, just eliminate it. Just eliminate it.
What did you think about that, Lance? We haven't really gotten a chance to talk about that like specific play. I mean, what did you think about that call, that flag?
Well, I'm definitely not going to tell JD he's wrong because he's actually been in the trenches before. He knows what it actually goes into those types of games. He's been inside those situations. But what I will say is, if you are going to call that, let's make sure the league as a whole is keeping this consistent, because this can't be a game-to-game type of situation where you're only calling it in certain games in certain situations. Because as I recall, just 1 week ago today, we saw Tom Brady walking to Marshawn Lattimore and cussing him out and causing a fight that got his wide receiver suspended. And he didn't get a flag on that play. And so what I just want to see is some consistency from the league. I'm not blaming Chris Jones for this one. I think Chris Jones was caught up in the moment. I think he was excited for the fact that he was getting a sack. I think it was because it was a key moment. That could have, like you guys said, that could have very well won the game for the Chiefs right then and there. And I think it shocks a lot of people because maybe he did say something to Matt Ryan that wasn't right. Maybe he deserved that flag. My point, though, is that we look across the league and it's not consistent. It's not a thing that you see star players on the offensive side get flagged for. Tom Brady constantly is doing things like that. Other great players are doing these things, saying these things, jawing away, and we're like, oh, that's football, man. We're sitting here clapping. We're loving it because it's a passionate thing. It's something we all as fans love to consume because we do it ourselves. Like JD was just saying earlier, you were yelling at the screen. So was I. It's something we do. It's what makes this game great. But do not penalize one guy and then turn around and not do it on other guys that may be a little bit more notable in this league. Let's keep it a little consistent, man. That's the only real problem I had. Like I said, if you're going to flag a guy and you think it's justifiable, if you think that Chris Jones said something that, okay, that's unacceptable, I got to throw this flag, I can live with that. But what I'm not going to live with is if I turn my TV to the next station, I flip it to Fox, and I see the same damn thing happen, and it isn't getting flagged because of the name on the back of that jersey. That's the problem I have.
Okay, well, 2 points to that, okay? And I agree with you, Lance. I think with the Tom Brady one, and I can't quite remember. I just, like, off the top of my head, Tom wasn't necessarily near a referee when he was saying it. We knew he got into a verbal battle with Lattimore and whatnot, but a referee wasn't on top of him at the time when it happened, right? Yeah. And so that may be part of the difference. So when you have two referees that are literally right beside Chris at this time, there's some things that referees will let go and some things, you know, it's to their discretion how they're going to make these calls. You know what I'm saying? And so – what they'll give you some leeway, you know, to, you know, jaw and say things. I mean, this is grown men talking to each other, right?
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, hold on, man. Like, yo, like, you don't see us standing here? Like, you literally, your shoulder is touching our shoulder, and you sitting there talking all this smack. And right. So that might be part of the deal, and I get that part of it. Like, you know, you got to be able to keep it consistent. You know, but I think, you know, at that time, man, you just, you know, that's the awareness, just being smart. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Just, you know what, let it go. You was already on top of him talking noise. You know what I'm saying? You lay on it for 3 seconds in his ear talking smack. Then you get up and continue the talk after that. But like you said, I you know, even just that penalty in itself, right, that's one penalty through us this entire game. And the thing is, like somebody said, man, the blame goes all the way around, man. The Chiefs didn't really just play a good team game, period. So I just think, you know, obviously that comes out because it's magnified because it was at the end of the game and it caused like them to, you know, to keep the what's the name of going, the drive going. But I don't know, man. The Chiefs should have blown this team out by at least 4 touchdowns. Easy in Indianapolis. There's no reason why they shouldn't have, you know. So,
well, JD, I'll say this real quick, Marcus. To that point of what you just said about how this game should have been the Chiefs' game, they should have won this game without really any problem. Yeah. Like we were talking about how you saw the way that the Colts offense started, where the defense just clamped down on them as a quick three and out. The Chiefs are getting the ball. They just kicked off, so you know the Chiefs are getting the ball at the beginning of the second half. So things are looking good. What you cannot do is give teams that are struggling like the Colts have out the gate of this season second breath, a second chance in life. Because what happened directly after Sky Moore put that ball on the ground. They scored a touchdown, and they're already working up 7-0 before Patrick Mahomes even touches the ball. Now, Patrick and the offensive line were not very good today. Patrick looked very timid behind the offensive line. The offensive line for the second consecutive week has struggled really bad. Like you mentioned, Trey Smith, that's absolute truth, man. The front, their interior offensive line should be the strength of their offensive line because they were insanely great last season. For the Chargers game last week, because that's an incredible front seven. So you're going to struggle at times against that type of talent that's coming against you. But this week, man, without Shaq Leonard out there, and without a lot of guys that are out there that can get you in the backfield, there's really no excuse for the Chiefs offensive line to look that bad, especially when you have 10 days, man, to figure out a game plan against a team that's hobbled and struggling to score at any – I mean, they were struggling to score today. And it looked like the Chiefs were the offense that was struggling more than even the Colts were. It's an embarrassing loss. It's going to be a long week. Am I sitting here worried about this team in the long run? No, absolutely not. This team still to me is the AFC representation. But this is just one of those losses, man, that just it can either keep you away from the one seed, or you got to be hoping for some good luck down the road, like the Bills losing today, the Dolphins. That definitely helps the Chiefs as well. But you can't lose games like this, man.
Yeah, I think it was more so like the game plan, I think, was on point. It's the execution of the plays. That's what it was. I mean, guys perform it. And like you said, when you go against a great defensive line like you did the week before and then come up this week and you fall short, I mean, that just shouldn't happen. Right. I mean, really. And I think a lot of that was where, you know, Trey and some of those guys was getting pushed in the backfield, you know, coming around the edge. And Pat was back there moving his – I mean, he was moving around more than usually. And he shouldn't have been moving around as much as he should have. Especially against this NDD, really.
You talk about Lance. You talk about the you know lack of consistency with calls, and I think that kind of there's a lot of things that go with that, especially with quarterback play. Like for example, the penalty that we thought Mahomes got, where they pulled his face mask. Tom Brady gets that. They sneeze on him. He gets that call. Mahomes thought he got it. We all thought he got it, but then I guess they picked it up without any kind of mentioning of that. JD, there was one play it was one of the drives where Mahomes threw it to Kelce, the back of the end zone. Quarterback didn't even play the ball. It was like bodying Kelce. I mean, what did you think about that? That was one play that I think should have been looked at. I mean, like a little more. I mean, Romo and Nance kind of like, didn't really talk about that at all. They talked about it a little bit, but then kind of went away from it. What did you think about that play? A lot of people say that Kelce didn't make enough of a motion for the ball to try to play and get the ball.
I mean, that could have been it, but that's space guarding all day the way I look at it. I mean, seriously, I mean, he's in the back of the end zone. The ball's coming to him. You know, if Travis makes more of a play, I guess, coming through the guy to try to make it, maybe. I don't know if they thought, like, the ball was low and, he didn't really have a chance at it. Maybe they thought it was just a bad ball. I don't know. But to be honest with you, I would have been surprised and shocked if that flag came out, really. You know, I was, like you said, I was more surprised if the ball did come out. And so I think it was like a lot of consistency. So you talk about Patrick Mahomes with the face mask, and he missed a roughing the passer too. On I forgot who the D line hit him on. He knew he was going out of bounds to throw the ball. He knew that, and he still hit Mahomes anyway. And I just don't understand why these things happen, and it's not being talked about more. And so I don't know, man. So Lance, what do you think about that last play in there?
Look, I'm not a guy that likes to play the whole, like, refs, screwed the team over and that's why the Chiefs lost. I don't want to be that guy. But I feel like we're almost obligated to have to point these things out because they do affect the outcome of games. They do. And I really believe now Travis Kelce did drop a touchdown that Patrick Mahomes put on his palms. Mm-hmm. So we have to give Travis some criticism on that as well. And Travis will definitely own up to that because that was an absolutely perfect pass that he dropped. And that would have decided the game right then and there. But, I mean, that was the letter of the law of defensive pass interference. Moore had his hands on the inside. You saw the replay. His hands were on the inside of Travis's jersey, not allowing Travis to really go for the ball. And Travis's momentum was carrying him outside, so he couldn't stop and then move towards the ball. That was letter of the law of defensive pass interference. They didn't talk about it. And what I didn't like is the most about the penalty that should have been on Patrick, it was clear as day, face mask. The dude ripped his face mask down. It was whatever penalty you want to call it, there was a penalty there. they picked it up and they didn't explain any reasoning as to why they picked it up, because any replay would have clearly indicated that they committed a penalty on that play. So I don't understand what the referees were seeing or not seeing on that we did or didn't see, because I clearly saw a penalty. And for a league that prides themselves allegedly on protecting the quarterbacks, which is, you know, the lion's share of their product there, which is what represents their league and gives them the quality product they have, I didn't really see that today. I'll be honest with you, because they sure as hell protected Matt Ryan when Chris Jones said some harsh words that hurt his 37-year-old feelings. But I didn't see that for 27-year-old Patrick Mahomes when there was an actual penalty that he suffered. So I'm very frustrated on that. But this loss is definitely on the offensive line and special teams, because the special teams played like the Looney Tunes and Space Jam before they got Michael's Secret stuff. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Look, man, I want to know what was said to Matt Ryan. And the thing is, I mean, is that going to warrant that flag? Because if he's just like, you know, just cussing him, you know, just whatever, that's not enough. Come on now. Like, you can't throw a penalty like it. Like you said, you could throw a penalty on every single play. Matter of fact, you could throw it before the ball is snapped, you know, if it's about, you know, using choice words against guys, right? I mean, seriously, come on now.
Maybe he said 28-3. And they're like, oh, we can't have that. 28-3 in the Super Bowl, man. You can't say that. You gotta throw the flag. He said 28-3.
JD, this is something that a lot of people were commenting on Twitter. Everyone, you know, people are upset about a lot of things. But one thing that people, it's been standing out to people, is that even you go back to last week, go back to this week, what is it that we're not really getting a lot of our receivers into the game? Are they not getting a lot of separation on the routes? What are you noticing when watching this game? Are these guys not getting a lot of separation? I mean, it's just they're not. There was a coverage sack. There was a couple coverage sacks out there. A lot of times Mahomes trying to extend because these guys weren't getting off the break of the routes. What are you noticing from the receivers that we may not be, you know, the guys like us aren't really noticing?
You know what? I, to be honest with you, there were some things the guys were open and just Pat just missed them. I mean, you know, to be honest, let's be real. And so I think a lot of it had to do with maybe part of the pressure of just, you know, putting it on Pat, making him move his feet, getting the timing off of him. And so what ends up happening is you cut down with the timing, you end up cutting down part of like the route, part of like half the field on certain things. And so what Pat tries to do is with his feet, he's trying to extend plays. And at that point, now what we're playing is we're playing kind of the red ball, getting open, running your laws on finding holes and windows. And so if he's not able to do that successfully, then I think that's what you know, kind of, you know, shows up. But I don't necessarily believe that it's guys are not necessarily getting open. I don't know, man. You know, like some of the things I'm looking at it, I really believe part of it was just a timing off from, you know, some of the pressure, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs' offensive line is causing that problem, because I'll be real with you, as JD alluded to right there, I mean, that was perfectly said. There were several times where MVS was wide open down the field. We saw that early in the game. There was that shot play that he broke wide open, and Patrick could have sent him to the house right there with reservations for six, and he just missed him. And we saw that against the Cardinals with Mecole Hardman multiple times where he just simply missed the play. You can theorize as to what that is that's causing that problem. I don't expect that to last, because I think these guys are going to, you know, really figure it out as the season progresses, because we're only three games into a 17-game schedule. But it is frustrating to see, because you expect with all the practice and all the repetition this team's been doing together all the way back to March and April, you've seen Patrick Mahomes having the guys down in Texas, and they've been practicing out there in that Texas heat. You would have thought by now they would have had that a little bit more down, but I think it all, again, starts with the pressure that I don't think any of us, including Patrick Mahomes, was expecting him to see up front, to where he doesn't really have that time in the pocket to climb up and really elevate those throws and really put him to where he wants to put him. So it's just a frustrating performance altogether from this offense, because, like I said, there were just several missed opportunities in so many different ways, man, that just left so many points on the board.
Yeah. The significance of, like, having the depth of the pocket from the inside, like when you have a quarterback running left to right to try to make throws, it's always a difficult thing as opposed to getting downfield, you know, hitting the lanes. And so if he had just like that clean pocket to make throws, I think you'd be able to pick him apart. And so also, too, you just got to watch maybe in a couple of the plays, Pat probably could have checked a few of those balls down. I see that it was wide open. He could just like just dip and duck, you know, to McKinnon, you know, to CEH, and just let them make 10 or 15 yards. And so I think part of that is just the competitive spirit, right? Pat just like, look, I can make this throw right here. I can make this throw right here. And I think sometimes it kind of came up maybe at the end of the half. You know, that's what everybody was kind of talking about. Like, why not take another shot? You know, did three shots. Well, at this point, it's like, look, we're up. We're going to get the ball back at the half. And when you come out, they was actually hitting on all cylinders. But part of the problem is, I think, as fans, we don't think those little check downs and, you know, kind of sustaining the drives is sexy enough, right? I think people get caught up in it like, oh, I want the big play. Hey, man, look, sometimes you don't have to do that all the time. Sometimes it's just a check down. Then we get 5 or 6, 7 yards here. Then you hit them over the head for about 15. So I think we shouldn't get caught up in that. Let's look at the practicality of, like, the play calling, what should be done. And I think sometimes they look at this and they'll of course, evaluate what went wrong as far as, like, with the timing of the play, guys getting open. They'll have all of that. I mean, look, this week, I guarantee these guys are going to have it all out. And so I'll be amazed. We don't hear, you know, about two coming in and not turning over a couple tables and, you know, bite somebody in the knee or something. I don't know. So we'll see.
Since you mentioned the little argument right before halftime or whatever you want to call it, that's probably going to be a big storyline this week on national media. Maybe they may bring that up, you know, when they talk about the Chiefs losing to the Colts, they may bring that up. As a player who played and probably had some, you know, probably chirped with coaches a little bit. And there's kind of that, like, back and forth, you know. Big deal or no deal?
No deal, man. It's not a big deal at all. I mean, look, like I said, as an offense, you want the ball every single chance you get to try to score, to make more yards. I mean, that's what you do, right? I mean, that's your job. And so I don't really look at it as it being a big deal. Like, EB did. Sometimes you had to talk your guys down. Shoot, I had to be talked down plenty of times. Hey, man, I want the ball. Like, hey, JD, relax. We're doing it this way. Let's stay with the game plan. Hey, we'll come back in. Let's start from there. And so I think, you know, when people start putting it on, you know, TV, and then obviously from what happened last year, then it's like, oh, my God, what did, you know, EB? And then, come on, man. Like, that's not how it works. Like, it happens every halftime. I guarantee you, any offense that has the ball in their hand, I don't care if you're 80 yards away, you got 5 seconds. They were like, let's run the play and try to get a touchdown. That's the way it works, man. That's the way it works. So it's not a big deal. Not at all.
I wish I shared JD's optimism on this one. But when this is now the second time in 4 games dating back to the Chiefs AFC Championship loss to the Bengals, where we've seen Eric Bieniemy and Patrick Mahomes literally get in shouting matches together and fight like this at the end of the first half and in the second half, they only put up a certain amount of points and they look like they're absolutely lost in offense again. I think there is a problem there. And I think that you see people on Twitter talking about this, people that I won't name by names, but I can talk to you guys about it off air, that are in the know. And they're saying some things that I feel like are very strongly opinionated. I don't think they would be saying these things unless they felt there was some sort of qualm or issue going on. Do I believe that this is going to deter the Chiefs? Do I believe that Patrick Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy can't work together? Absolutely not. Because in the last five seasons now, the Chiefs averaged the most points per game in the NFL. And Eric Bieniemy deserves a lot of credit for that. Eric Bieniemy is a good coach. And I think that him and Patrick Mahomes can work together. But I also think that there are some issues with how they see things going. And that can be good for a team. That can ignite something in an offense and they can start clicking and have a 6-7 game stretch where they look completely unstoppable. But I do think there is a fundamental and a belief difference between these two guys, because I definitely think Patrick Mahomes wanted that drive to go a little differently, and I think Eric Bieniemy was playing very conservative in the approach of how they ran that ball at the end to run the clock out. I think Patrick, knowing this offense can literally score within 13 seconds no matter where they're at on the field, I think he wanted to give them that opportunity, and then Eric Bieniemy did not want to do that. And I don't know, again, if this is going to be something that's going to cause real problems or real concern, but to me, I read this and I see this and I'm thinking, yeah, these guys clearly have a rivalry between themselves, and a lot of times that can work, because we even seen, was it Bob Ryan and I think it was, oh God, who was it? Mike Ditka. Bob Ryan and Mike Ditka, they used to fight all the time on the sidelines, but they had the greatest defense arguably of all time with the Bears, and you saw what they did together and how they worked together, and those dudes hated each other. So sometimes the toughest, roughest types of relationships can work out in the NFL, man, and I expect that to continue this year.
Well, I tell you what, I disagree with that, and I'm going to tell you why. We've seen several times that Tom Brady and McDaniels get on it on the sideline, right? And then they end up winning how many Super Bowls? So
six, the thing, yeah.
Yeah. So here's the thing, okay? And this is like the perspective of a player.
Yeah.
So when I'm telling you it happens all the time, I'm telling you it happens all the time. When you come into the locker room, it's like one of those things where coaches are telling guys, like, look, man, relax. We understand, like, We hear your argument. We know what you're thinking, right? But we have a game plan that we got to stick with. That's why you seen Andy Reid when he caught Pat, because he's just like, look, man, come on, let's go. You know, to me, I think people make it such a big deal, right? Because then you hear these talking heads, of course, that somebody might say something here, somebody might say something there. These things are going to exist. Offensive coordinator, okay, and quarterback. That's always going to happen. Quarterbacks are not always going to be on the same page. There are plays quarterbacks want to do. They always want to go for the football. But it's the same thing. Like, we have to think about it. Well, then who's at fault here? If we're thinking, like, going back to, like you said, the last season, you know, with that Cincinnati game, who's at fault here with that, right? Is it on Pat? I know EB was on it. I know that was a terrible call. If it was on Pat, that's a terrible play on him, right? And so he has every reason and be valid and justified to be upset with a quarterback making their call in his hand.
Yep.
Because then all of a sudden you don't get no points, right? And so it's a power struggle that shouldn't be there, okay? There's a hierarchy there that has to happen. And so when you're sitting over saying, like, look, just trust the system of what we're doing. We know we have a high-powered offense. But if I gave you two chances, you didn't move the football? Look, everybody's healthy. You're healthy right now. We don't know what these guys are going to do. They might bring a rush. You might get hit. You know, you might be out of the game. If we lose you, we definitely ain't got a chance. And so we know we don't have – look, and I'm going to tell you, look, Tim was that guy, okay? He was. Well, I'm not taking away from his big play capability, but he's a guy that could catch the football and hit his head on the goalpost. That guy's not there. He's not there right now. And that's fine. I ain't got no problem with it whatsoever. And I think that's why, you know, you got to have some type of confidence and understanding what the play calling is going to be and just trust what the process is going to be, right? Pat just being competitive. I know it's what he is. He's like, man, how come we can't go with this? We got another play to run like this. He's like, yeah, look, I got it. But look, hey, man, we get the ball at the half, right? Calm down, man. Cool down. We're going to be okay. The thing was, as an offense, I know everybody looks, you know, at EB, but it's on everybody. Sometimes the execution of plays, it might be the guy's not getting it done, right? You said, hey, Pat missed one. He missed several plays out there. You know, Travis missed one in the end zone. And so blame goes all around, man. I don't want to make it more of a thing than it really is. And I think that's what part of the problem, because when you start doing that, then you start causing dissension. That's what happens. And that it kind of goes in and it's cancerous. Like, it really does. It can run through the team when you start making it an issue. And so what ends up happening is you start reporters coming in. Hey, we heard this. We heard that, Pat. What do you think? Blah, blah, blah. And so it's all that noise on the outside. But see, when people see this all the time, what are people supposed to think? They're not in the huddle. I just know because when you're sitting over here and it happens, when I'm telling you every halftime, it's always halftime. Somebody is not happy. Somebody's coming in fussing, arguing. You could be up two touchdowns or somebody going to come in and fuss. That's just the way it is, man, in the NFL locker room. That's the reality of it, really.
Yeah. So getting off the kind of the soap opera that a lot of people are going to make out the Chiefs locker room to be this coming week. Before this game, I saw some people saying, what's going to happen with Ronald Jones? You know, we're playing Tampa Bay next week. You know, a lot of people thought this week was a trap game. And then looking at our run game, it's been pretty good. We haven't been giving the ball to CH a lot. But then today, the run game across the board is kind of atrocious. McKinnon had 7 carries, 20 yards, averaged 2.9 yards a carry. Pacheco, 3 carries, 9 yards. CH, 7 carries, 0 yards. He had a couple negative yards. I mean, just the O-line there. But is there a chance that we'll see Ronald Jones, not only because it's against his old team, but because the run game is not really where it should be, I guess? There's a chance we see Ronald Jones this week?
Well, this is the thing I see with Ronald Jones. I've been big on him since they signed him. I said this is a guy that I think fits perfectly with this Chiefs offensive scheme. So to answer your question as quickly and as efficiently as possible, I really hope so, Marcus. I really hope so because I think he could really add a strong physical presence for this running back core, because I think they played overall pretty well considering how shaky the offensive line has surprisingly been so far this season. But I honestly do believe that he would be right now, and I know this sounds like a hot take, I think he would be the best running back on this team. And the biggest reason why is because he's proven more than anybody else on the stand. I'm a big Clyde guy. I've stood by Clyde since day one, and I think Isaiah Pacheco's got RB1 potential. And McKinnon's a very solid veteran, so I don't mean to discredit what he does because he's also really good with chipping, you know, those defensive edge rushers. Whenever those guys come through, you see him chip, and he's not even a big guy at all. So I don't mean to discredit what these guys do, but I think Ronald Jones would add an element to this offense that I don't really think they have on a consistent basis. And again, in Tampa Bay, even splitting reps with Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones performed and produced, and he played really well for them, especially in big games too. We can't forget that his guy was on that Super Bowl team. This guy was on that team that won the Super Bowl with the Buccaneers, and he played well that season. And I think that Ronald Jones needs to get an opportunity. I just don't know if it's going to happen yet because I think he's that guy they're just using as a, well, this is a depth piece. If somebody goes down, because it's inevitable it happens, it's a long, grueling season. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had injury concerns. So is McKinnon, especially McKinnon. And Isaiah Pacheco is still an unproven seventh-round pick. I think that Ronald Jones is that guy that is kind of holding in the holster, just ready for to shoot him out of the gun whenever that opportunity comes. And I do hope it comes, but unfortunately, I think that opportunity only comes if somebody gets injured.
I like an assessment of it. And I think, to be honest with you, hearing you speak, Lance, I really believe that this might be the week that Rojo suits up. I really do. And I think part of it goes into possibly what Pacheco wasn't doing on special teams.
Yeah.
I didn't really see a whole lot from him, right? He wasn't really providing that spark. And so if you're thinking about running the football, how many yards do you actually have, you know, this past week, in the past few weeks? And so I think Rojo would be a great change of pace, you know, with what you can do. I think a guy like that who's running behind his pads, who understands, who's a veteran, will be able to provide that spark for this offense. And so I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't have a problem with it whatsoever. And so if you wanted to not dress Pacheco, hey, man, by all means, why not? So like I said, it's not like he's doing, making sterile plays offensively or, you know, on special teams right now. And so I think that's part of the deal. It's like the importance of having Pacheco on special teams. You know, can you do without that guy? I don't know. But Rojo would be a great change of pace, man. I would love to see him against Tampa Bay. Not only that, but the guy will come in hungry.
Yeah,
when you tell him, a guy who sat and watched the last three games, you know, who, like you said, all intents and purposes, who's a running back one, now you give him a chance, he's like, look, I got something to prove. Yeah, I'm guaranteed I will run as hard as you want me to run. I'm going to play as hard as you want me to play. I'm here to make a statement. And so I think this might be the week. Sometimes you got to bring a guy out there, man, to spark the offense up. You know what I mean? So he might be that guy. I just seen like CEH. I think he did well the last two games. This game, he was running a little bit more, you know, east to west, not north to south. He was trying to find – and look, and when you got smaller running backs, you can't just take your time dancing in the backfield. You just can't do it. You know, you got to be a bigger back doing that, right? And it has a little bit more mobility and a little bit more power. And so I think right now, if you bring Rojo in, I wouldn't have a problem with it whatsoever.
Yeah. I think that going forward, like based on the way the running game was today, and then also, you know, the fact that it is going to be a grudge match for him next week against the Buccaneers, a team that, you know, didn't want him back, they want his services back. I think it makes all sense in the world. You know, it gives us a spark and some kind of rejuvenated, like some new blood in there as we go forward, right?
Hey man, listen, I'm gonna tell you this, okay? I don't care what play you have. Any team that's got rid of that guy, you need to play that guy very next week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're talking about having an incentive to go out there and do well, it's always the team that got rid of you. I mean, I'm telling you, man, that sucker will run out there like the grass is on fire and there's glass out there right now. Trust me. So he might have to be that guy, man. I'm telling you that. Yo, Rojo, hey, man, come on in. We suiting you up this week. He's going to be like, oh, it's like going to school for the first day, right? So – that's it. He might be ready, man. Seriously, I'm telling you, he might be that spark we need.
All right. Well, that does it for us for the first ever live stream and post-game podcast. Lance, I love the Spoken and Chief Concerns collab right here.
Yes, sir.
I love it.
Yeah, this made me feel a lot better about today. And I think the only way I can top this off now is if I go and make myself a nice big bowl of mac and cheese for my guy, Jaden.
I hear you, man. Hey, look. Hey, have some mac and cheese for me, my brother.
Love it, man.
I will say before we got on this, it was right after they scored a touchdown. You know, obviously the 13 seconds game happened last year, and it's like, oh, there's a chance we come back. But I have my little youth football next to me. I'm like, man, we gotta go on a podcast after this. I don't want to talk about this game. I was so mad. But yeah, this did help. And you know, seeing the comments, you know, people, you know, everyone's a little hot about it, but you know, I think we all know in the long run of things, it'll be okay.
Yeah, they weren't going 17-0, fellas. We knew they were going to drop games. We just don't like to see them drop games like this where they have 10 days of rest and look this bad. So they definitely got to bounce back next week against Tampa Bay.
And I think what's softening the blow is watching the Bills get they butts handed to them too, right? So
you see Ken Dorsey up there throwing a fit like a five-year-old? Man.
Yeah. Woo! I started laughing. You know, wife was looking at me like, what's going on? I'm like, this sucker's up here going crazy right now.
And Jacksonville, someone just told us Jacksonville's up 13-0 right now over the Chargers. So
man, missed a real opportunity here, man.
Yeah. But Raiders lost again, 0-3. I think San Fran's going to take care of business tonight in Denver. All is right in the AFC West, at least.
Yes. Yeah.
Jacksonville can take care of business and do what they got to do. But that does it for us. Thanks for tuning in to Chief Concerns presented by Bet Online. We'll see you guys next week, and don't forget to subscribe to Chief Concerns and the Spoken Podcast with our guy Lance, and we'll see you guys next Sunday. We got Tampa Bay. Is that a 4 o'clock game next week? I know it's in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you guys.
That might be a primetime game, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it
Sunday night game?
I think, yeah, because the Chiefs, I think it's Sunday night, and it's Monday night against the Raiders.
Wow.
You know it's going to be Brady and Mahomes. It's got to be prime. Sure.
All right. Well, so we'll see you guys. Well, for the Chief Concerns fans, we'll see you guys Thursday. For the Spoken fans, we'll see you guys Saturday. And then post-game Sunday night around midnight. So Chief Concerns after dark next Sunday. All right. See you guys next time.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get podcasts.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.